Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, what is wrong with us? And by us, I mean our modern Western culture. What is wrong with us? Think about that fridge you have at home right now, even you uni students, your little bar fridge, all right? Just has milk in it for your Weet-Bix in the morning. Apparently makes us one of the wealthiest people in the world. We had someone from Open Doors come to church years ago and said, just owning a fridge that keeps dinner ready for you and fresh food for the week makes you one of the wealthiest people in the world. Then think about that, you know, that rectangular electronic gizmo you have in your pocket right now. I mean, that's like a supercomputer, yeah? Instantly putting you in touch with friends and knowledge and entertainment. We are the wealthiest culture to have ever lived. And yet, all the statistics are clear when it comes to anxiety, depression, suicide, addictions, they're skyrocketing. What is wrong with us? Now, I imagine there are a lot of causes for that. But tonight, I just want us to think through the lens of choice. On the one hand, we tell young people, you can be anything you want to be. And then we turn around and say, but you better make a choice out of all those thousands of careers that are out there. We are told that we deserve to be happy. And then we're bombarded by millions of images of what true happiness looks like. And then we're offered thousands of wellness, fitness, dietary, sleep programs, all promising to make us happy. Choices, choices, choices. No wonder why we're anxious and depressed. And there is one core reason we are spinning out of control under this avalanche of choices. Because modern society has completely removed God. We live in what Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor called an immanent frame. Now, immanent simply means within. And we now live as a modern culture as if the universe is completely framed and there is nothing transcendent outside of it, which sounds all grown up and mature and wise. Thanks, you know, to modern technology and centuries of science, we are now self-reliant. When it comes to understanding our experience, when it comes to defining who we are, we don't need to refer to some God outside of our immanent frame, or so the modern story tells us. Modern culture constantly says, be true to yourself, define yourself, create your personal testimony. Sounds inspiring. But previous generations largely inherited identity, community, vocation, moral structure, meaning. Today's person must invent all of it. It's like telling every 18-year-old, you must now write, direct, produce, market, and star in your own life story. And if your life feels empty, well, I guess that's your fault. No wonder anxiety skyrockets. The burden of ultimate self-definition is too heavy a burden for finite humans. The modern world promised that removing God would be making life lighter, but instead, modern people now carry the burden of creating identity and meaning and morality and purpose entirely by themselves. Brothers and sisters, Christians have a way better story. The supernatural is every bit as real as the natural. And the beauty, glory, and power of our story is that the God who reigns outside is good. He is lavishly good. He is abundantly good. He is overwhelmingly good. Today's sermon is titled, The Holy One of God. Come back to Luke chapter 4, verse 31, and I'll show you where I got the title from. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. And Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Christians believe in the natural and the supernatural. The supernatural not only includes God and the angels, the supernatural also includes Satan and the demons. And in the interaction we just read, a demon calls out Jesus' identity, the Holy One of God. And here's the thing, that demon was terrified of Jesus. The demon knew Jesus could destroy it. This is no traditional battle between good and evil where we wonder who's going to win. The devil knew Jesus could crush him. But that's another sermon for another time. In this sermon, I simply want us to see that the Holy One of God has come into our world. The transcendent has entered our imminent. And friends, this is great news for our highly anxious culture. From today's passage, we're going to see that Jesus is the authority we need. We're also going to see that Jesus is the authority we want. And then we're going to finish with Jesus is the choice we must make. And so that's where we're headed. Jesus, the authority we need. Jesus, the authority we want. Jesus, the choice we must make. Firstly, Jesus, the authority we need. Now, we are living in a culture that says all authority is bad. Modern culture demands that we be true to ourselves. You must define yourself. You must create your own identity. In this culture, the only sin is to tell somebody else, to give somebody else values and morals and tell them how to live. If you're maybe a business owner, maybe you manage a shop or something like that, you've probably seen this 1,000 times over. Maybe you've seen this debate played out as something as simple as an 8 a.m. start time. Who are you to impose an 8 a.m. start time on me? Well, I'm your boss. But an 8 a.m. start impinges on my coffee time with my mates down at Coast. Well, maybe you have to choose between that coffee time at 8 o'clock and a paycheck. Well, I'm going to take this to the HR department. We're living in a time in a culture where individual freedom trumps all other authority. And with that in mind, this modern culture in mind, I want you to see Jesus' authority. Have a look again at Luke 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." The first thing to note here is that the crowds were following Jesus for his teaching. So large, Jesus had to come up with clever platforms just so he could speak to the masses that were coming to listen to him. On this occasion, he used boats as a preaching platform to speak from. We find this over and over again in the Gospels. Jesus teaches with a commanding authority. Jesus teaches like nobody else, and the crowds would flock to hear them. And then here we are, 2,000 years later, still hungering and thirsting to hear from Jesus. Jesus is an authoritative teacher. And if you're still checking out Christianity, or maybe you've been with us for a while, but you haven't really thought of Jesus as an authority figure speaking into your life. You enjoy his good advice, or maybe you enjoy our community here. I urge you to consider the Holy One of God speaking into your life. Surely we want to pay careful attention to every word he has to say. When the supernatural breaks into our natural, it is critical we listen. And dare I say, obey. Now, maybe you're still checking things out, and obey is a bridge too far at the moment. I admit there have been far too many authoritative teachers throughout history that have been evil. And so here's where I want us to go to our second heading: Jesus, the authority we want. Jesus is the authority we need. We need the Holy One of God to come into our world and teach us. But now I want us to see that Jesus is the authority we want. So Luke chapter 5, verse 6. And when they had done this, and so when they did put the nets down in the water, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. I enjoy fishing. I've done a lot of fishing, and so I'll be the first to admit that it's completely possible that that was just a coincidence. You know, Simon and his fishing partners fished all night in the same spot. They caught nothing. Next thing you know, they dump the nets over and their boats are overflowing with fish. Yes, it could have been a coincidence. However, this incident is one of a string of miracles that Jesus performed. Go home again and read Luke chapter 4 and see how Jesus was healing many that were sick. Jesus was casting out demons. Read the rest of chapter 5 and you'll see that Jesus could instantly heal a leper. Instantly heal a paralytic. And so this incident of all the fish fits in with all these other miracles. It was a miracle, which is exactly what we would expect if the demon's testimony was true. Jesus is the Holy One of God. If the transcendent has come into our imminent, we would expect there to be miracles. And note, both boats were so full of fish, they began to sink. And so here were these fishing partners making their livelihood, spending all night out on the lake, catching nothing, no income coming in. Then next thing you know, one cast of the net, the next month's salary covered. The lavish, overflowing, abundant catch of fish is a hint that Jesus is not simply the authority we need, Jesus is the authority we want. Yes, history is littered with evil authorities, but history has never witnessed anybody like Jesus. Not only does Jesus' teaching command authority, his kindness and compassion is like nobody else. Jesus is good. Jesus is better than we could ask for. Listen, it's time we admit that the modern experiment with self-expression, self-identity, self-determination is a failed experiment. Imagine telling a 5-year-old, you are mature now. You can choose whatever you want for dinner. No rules, no guidance, no mum or dad telling you what is good for you. Now, at first that sounds fun. But I reckon given 10 minutes and the child becomes distressed. Too many options. No framework. No confidence. No trusted authority. Crippling fear of making the wrong choice. Eventually that child melts down in aisle 7. Why? Because freedom without guidance does not bring peace. Freedom without guidance does not bring peace. It brings anxiety. But that is exactly what our modern culture has done. You see, in comparison to our eternal, all-wise, all-powerful, all-good creator, we are all like a 5-year-old. But we have removed God, removed transcendence, removed inherited meaning, removed divine authority, and then handed individuals the terrifying task of constructing identity and morality and purpose and sexuality and meaning and destiny entirely alone. You see, modern people are not drowning in an oppression from external authorities. Yes, there are oppressing external authorities, but that's not what we're drowning from. We're drowning from self-authorship. And so praise be to God. The Holy One of God has entered to speak life. Yes, Jesus is an authority. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the authority. He's our creator. Jesus is God. That is what Holy One of God means. Jesus is God. But he is no tyrant. Jesus is the one who knows you better than you know you. And the more you get to know Jesus, the more you realize what he demands of you is what you would want yourself if you knew what Jesus knows. Now, I reckon that's worth repeating. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you realize he only demands of you what you would want yourself if you knew what he knows. And so let's move to our third and final point. Jesus, the choice we must make. We'll look again at Simon Peter's response to Jesus' miracle. Luke 5, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, when Simon Peter saw the boatloads of fish, when he saw the miracle, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Jesus is the Holy One of God, which remember, means Jesus is God. And Jesus came from the supernatural world. He entered into our natural world. The transcendent comes into our immanent for a mission. Later on in Luke, we're told that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And the Bible tells us that we are all lost because of our sin. Now, there's another word that the modern world really doesn't like us Christians using. The only sin for modern culture is judging somebody else. And so let me give you an illustration that helps me understand the biblical concept of sin. Imagine there was a should app on your phone. Imagine there's such a thing as a should app. And you've got it on your phone, and this app recorded every time we told someone what they should do. You should be kind to your parents. You should pay taxes. You should be generous to the poor. You should be more compassionate. You should be more respectful to your elders. You should be more patient, less greedy, more kind, less lazy. All of your you shoulds to somebody else recorded on that app. Now imagine, on Judgment Day, God judges you by your standards that you put on everybody else. God judged you by all of your you shoulds. God judged me by all of my shoulds. We would all fail. We fail our own standards. We sin, which helps us understand, if we can see we fail our own standards, helps us translate up to God's standard, which is love. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he had an answer. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. We all fail to love as we should. We're all lost and in need of saving. You see, Jesus did not come to start a program of self-improvement. The Bible's not some 10-step program to a better you. The Bible is the story of human sinfulness. And Jesus, the one who came, the transcendent who entered our imminent to seek and save the lost. We're all lost and in need of that saving. The Bible is a story of how we must leave everything and follow Jesus, the one who came to save. Now, for Simon and James and for John, that literally meant leaving their jobs to stop catching fish and to start catching people. You see, Jesus' method for saving people, it's not a program. Jesus' method for saving people is people who he sought and saved that will then go out and tell other people. You see, a Christian is someone who came to God, admitted their sin, asked forgiveness on the basis of Jesus dying for their sin. Did you hear that? We ask for forgiveness based on what Jesus did. Christians are the ones who receive forgiveness. Christians are not the ones who earn their forgiveness. God loves to freely forgive. All you have to do is admit to your Creator that you want to turn from your sin, hand your life over to God through Jesus Christ. It's what we call faith. Faith, Christian faith, is turning from our sin and putting our faith and trust in Jesus' death in our place to receive a full and complete pardon. And not just pardon, but adoption as daughters and sons. Do you remember what I said about the overwhelming abundance before? Well, faith in Jesus Christ, that is the door by which we enter and discover an eternal, overwhelming amount of love from the God who made us. And so if you're not yet a Christian, what are you waiting for? the modern self-identity project, it's not working. And that's because you are not a random chance accident of nature. You are a creature made in the image of the all-powerful, all-loving God. You see, the supernatural is just as real as the natural. And better yet, the supernatural is personal. God sent his Son to seek and save the lost. I urge you, get off the depressing hamster wheel of self-discovery, self-fulfillment. Hand your life over to Jesus Christ and finally discover fulfillment. And for my brothers and sisters, we are the ones who are certain about Jesus. So let's get alive with our faith. And by alive, I mean lively and active. We should be entering Port Macquarie as the ones full of hope, because our hope is not in the imminent. Our hope is in the transcendent. We know that whatever the result of world tensions, that we know whatever the result of national politics, national budgets, national cost of living, whatever the result of pandemics, terrorists, escalating mental health crisis, we know Jesus Christ has defeated sin and death. We know Jesus is returning to judge the living and the dead. We know that Jesus is going to take every single one of his followers into eternal joy. Amen? We should be the ones who always turn up with hope and expectation and an abundance mindset, because we are certain about Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray. I'm going to find Taryn. There's questions? Excellent. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing and then we'll do some Q&A. Oh, Father God, you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you that we are about to respond to what we just heard in song. May we pour our hearts out to you in great hope. I pray for anyone here tonight who has yet to hand their life over to Jesus. Father, would tonight be that night? Would we be a community that can help answer questions for them? But Father, also for all of us Christians, we pray that our faith would be alive and active. We'd be reminded once again that you are good. You love to pour out your love on us. Would we be a hope-filled people for a world that desperately needs your good news? We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.